The American people opposed the going to war with Syria, which includes many Marines and other veterans, by the thousands, was 499-1. That is 99% of the people of this country. So if you and the rest of this government are truly for the American people and representatives of us, I suggest this time you listen, because nobody wants another war or strike in Syria or anywhere else. Bring our brothers and sisters home. I am truly disgusted that you people are my leaders.
Bringing you the hottest interviews and covering the stories the mainstream media doesn't dare to touch. It's the Rage Against the Regime podcast. Call or text your opinions to 256-344-7287. That's 256-344-7287.
Welcome back to Rage Against the Regime. I'm your host, Bobby, who's the man. And today we have a special guest on. I did an interview with Al Nash, who is the PR director with Yellowstone National Park. Now, I'm probably going to say, you know, hey, PR directors aren't going to release all the information and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they're not going to tell you a lot of things and everything. Well, you know what? I think that the interview went very well. Al is an old newsman himself. Okay, so with that being said, and him being a newsman at one time, he knows what people want to hear, and he knows what kind of information he wants to put out there for, you know, for everybody to hear. I don't think that Al pulled any punches, and I didn't pull any punches. I don't think he hid anything from me. He didn't hide from me. I don't think he hid anything from me. I think that he was pretty straightforward, but I also feel that he wanted to tell people the good things about the park. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, there's a lot of history there, and there's a lot of beauty in that park. You know, the history, the beauty, and everything all rolled into one. I mean, you know, why not talk about the, you know, all that? Not just talk about the tornado. I mean, the tornadoes. God. Ugh. Earthquakes, not tornadoes, people. Earthquakes and the volcanoes. So why just sit there and talk about earthquakes and volcanoes when we could talk about the beauty of the park, you know, the wildlife that's there, the type of weather, so on and so forth. And we got into all that. But before I release that audio and let you guys hear that, I want to talk about a few other things right now. A lot of talk about different people having Ebola all over the place. You know, there was somebody that they talked about today in Ohio, a woman that just got back from, somewhere in Africa, and she thought that she had it. So I guess they did all the tests on her and that she's okay. Now, one thing that I'm confused about is the two Americans that they brought back to the United States, and I believe that they brought them both to Atlanta, to the hospital there, they say that they're doing fine now, and that they're okay and everything else, and that they don't have it any longer. Now, that's their words. That's not my words. That's their words. So, does that mean that there's a cure for it, or does that mean that they really didn't have it, or is this like a scare tactic? Because now it seems like a bunch of people all over the place are starting to come up and say that they were here and there, and that they, you know, their stomachs are messed up and this and that, and that they think that they have it. Okay. You know what? Safety and being precautionary and, you know, and all that, I understand, okay, and please, by all means, I'm glad that, you know, people are being precautious, but, I mean, I think some people are taking this a little bit out of text, okay? Now, I saw a report today saying that this is not an airborne virus. Now, I'm kind of confused about it. Because they're saying that, you know, it has to come from, like, you know, saliva and blood and all that. And, you know, from medical instruments and whatever, and, you know, you can't just, you know, get it from breathing the same air as somebody or whatever and everything else, but you can catch it from all those other things. But I guess coughing, you know, would be spreading germs, and I guess that would throw saliva in the air and stuff like that. But it seems to me that wouldn't it have to get into, like, a cut or something in your skin? See, I'm kind of confused about a lot of things about the Ebola, because I'm hearing different conflicting reports. Now, a couple of the groups that I belong to, there's a lot of knowledgeable people in there that release a lot of good information. And, I mean, I don't know if it's actually airborne or not. I'm kind of confused about that. I don't want to sit here and tell you guys that it is, if it isn't, or even if it is, I don't want to tell you that, because I don't want to scare anybody, for one. But, I mean, but I want to tell you the truth, so I wouldn't hide it from you. But, I mean, now they're talking about CRE, which is the nightmare bacteria, which is supposed to be as bad as Ebola, if not worse. Then they're talking about, in Texas, some kind of virus was stolen from a lab, and this is supposed to be a very, very bad virus also. Now, I don't know if it's the government playing games because they want to do the whole police state thing, or if it's, you know, people that want to cause harm and, you know, or whatever. But I mean, this is not good. This is not good at all. It really isn't good. Because all these different viruses that they supposedly don't have any cures for, and I mean, I don't know if I believe that or not, because I'm a firm believer that I think that the AIDS virus was actually started by a government. I don't know if it was our government or whose government, but I feel that the AIDS virus was founded and created by a government, and I think that they've had a cure for it for a long time. I think that they do have a cure for it. There's a lot of people that they were saying, oh, they have HIV and they have AIDS and they're dying and this and that. And take Magic Johnson, for instance. Magic Johnson looks like he's doing pretty damn good, if you ask me. I mean, he's probably 150 pounds heavier or something. I mean, aren't you supposed to lose a lot of weight, not gain it? So, I mean, I don't know, and I mean, yeah, the man's got a ton of money and everything else, so, I mean, I really, really don't know, but I mean, I do know that I think that, you know, a lot of these are man-made diseases and stuff, and hey, you know what, there's no wars going on right now to knock off population. What better? What better? Seriously, you want to knock off some population? Here's the perfect way to do it. I mean, I hope I'm wrong. I would hope that our government and, you know, some of these other governments out here wouldn't do something like that. But, you know, with all the crazy things going on in this world right now, you don't know what to think and who to think it about anymore. You know, all the things that you were taught in school and taught by your family and everything else, you might as well just throw all that right out the window. Open up your car window like I'm driving right now and just toss it right out the window, because it doesn't mean a damn thing. Our great this and our great that and whatever, and you know what? It's sickening. It's sickening. And then, you know, they say that Obama did it again. And he used, you know, his little executive order or whatever, and he signed a paper, signed a bill or whatever, that anybody with respiratory problems, that he can pretty much lock you up and put you away if he wants to. Do away with you. You have a respiratory problem. You go now. I mean, really? A respiratory problem? Unbelievable. I don't even know what to think about things anymore. Like I said, I mean, it's quite scary. It's quite scary. All right, we're going to get away from that. We're going to steer away from all that. And we are now going to go to the interview with Mr. Al Nash, the PR director with Yellowstone National Park. And here's that audio.
Today we have on a special guest. I've really been looking forward to doing this interview after I spoke with the gentleman yesterday. And he gave me the okay to do it. So I am now talking with Al Nash, the PR director with Yellowstone National Park. Welcome aboard, Al.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be with you, Bobby.
All righty. I appreciate you joining me today. First order of business, I'm sure that, I know that you've been probably getting a million calls about it, but I kind of wanted to talk about the phony report that came out yesterday stating that, you're expecting an eruption within the next 2 weeks.
And, you know, this is the latest in an ongoing series of phony news stories about the park, which have all centered about earthquake activity and the supervolcano.
Right. Yeah, I'm not even going to give them a little bit of knowledge acknowledgement, because I don't even want to give them any traffic. But, you know, after they posted that the other day, you know, I asked the gentleman, please reveal your source. And, you know, of course, he couldn't reveal anything. And then after speaking with you yesterday, you know, you kind of said something that really made a lot of sense to me. And it's like, well, it's kind of like follow the money, but follow where it's coming from. And if it's somebody that you probably never heard from, or, you know, heard of or from before, then it's probably baloney.
And I will tell you that, you know, the internet and the burgeoning social media is a wonderful thing, but it's like so many other evolving technologies. We as consumers need to be vigilant and a little skeptical. Just because somebody says it's so doesn't mean it really is. And frankly, that goes for folks like me. I mean, you have to put my information through your own filter as well. But there's an awful lot of people who just seem to get something out of putting out a lot of fake information. And frankly, sometimes we're the target.
Sure. Well, I know one thing for sure is, you know, the person probably did it to get attention and draw attention to themselves. I mean, good or bad, whatever attention they were looking for, you know, they got it. But, you know, in the same realm, you know, putting out bad information, it, to me, would be, you know, I don't think I would want to do that myself. Like me, when, you know, before I report anything, I always do my homework on it, make sure that, you know, whatever I'm telling the people is actually a fact. You know, not something that I heard from somebody else that heard it from the guy down the street that got it from Joe Blow. You know, it's more I want to be factual. So
right.
You're
in a situation where in order to keep listeners and build listeners, they need to know that you're providing them with credible information. I'm an old TV reporter. Some days it's that the emphasis is on the old, but, you know, I grew up in an era when my word had to be golden. I had to have all of the factual information down solid from primary sources before I shared it with the audience. And frankly, I'm in the same kind of a boat now, even though I work for Yellowstone National Park. All I have to share is my credibility. And I'm afraid that people are starting to see things at times on the internet, and it's just really juicy, and they don't necessarily check out the credibility of the source providing the so-called facts.
Sure. Okay, so just to kind of talk about maybe any kind of changes that have been in the park recently, do you know, you know, I know, you know, I don't, I guess we'll get off those people completely because, you know, to me it's garbage talk, so I kind of would like to steer away from that. But do you know of any changes or anything that have occurred in the park that would make people just, you know, want to, you know, kind of throw things out there? Or?
Well, I mean, we need to set up a baseline here. And I think anybody who knows something about Yellowstone knows we have geysers and hot springs. The reality of Yellowstone is amazing. This is a very geologically active place. We really have between 1,000 and 3,000 earthquakes every year. We are sitting close to the a hot pool of magma, which is, geologically speaking, not too far beneath the crust of the earth. So that heat plus the moisture we have here essentially is the engine that provides the 10,000 different hydrothermal features you see on the surface. So this place shakes. Very few of those earthquakes or anything anybody feels. Yes, we're sitting above what some people want to call a supervolcano. It last exploded about 660,000 years ago, and there are no signs that any eruption is going to happen, frankly, even in our lifetime or the lifetime of our children or grandchildren. But this place is changing all the time. You can come to the park and look at an area, go away, come back some period of time later, and it is going to look different than it did before. That's the amazing thing of Yellowstone.
Sure. Well, I remember somebody posted a video, and they had all the bison running from one end of the park to the other. And I remember they posted a story. They were, oh, the bison are running from one end of the park, you know, and they're leaving, and they're taking off, and all the animals are leaving, and so on and so forth. But I don't think people actually realize that once the weather changes, the bison move from one side of the park to the other, correct?
We have bison that often migrate from the interior of the park during late winter outside the park to lower elevation areas where it's frankly a little easier to get a bite to eat because the snowpack isn't as deep. Now, that particular video that was misconstrued was of bison running into the park. But, you know, that didn't fit the silly story somebody wanted to come up with.
One of the many? Funny. Well, okay, so with all that being said, you know, as you said, you know, there's no changes in the park. So, you know, 60,000 years. Now, see, I've always read that it was 640,000 years, so it's actually been closer to 660,000.
Well, that's as good as anybody's going to date. I mean, look,
okay.
I do not pretend to be a geologist, and I'm not trying to tell you I am one, but I live here. You know, I live in the park. I rent a house from Uncle Sam so that I can work here and live here. I'm not worried about living here, and I'm here 24/7. This is a great place to come visit because you really can see geological change in before your eyes. And so it's an amazing and wonderful thing here, but you just shouldn't get worked up over all of these crazy reports that people see. They take little snippets of information, spin them, put them out of context, and people believe the stuff, and then my phone starts to ring off the hook. Come see for yourself.
Well, I know I plan on doing it. I plan on bringing my family in. You know, we're going to come and definitely come and visit, you know, because I know it's a beautiful park, and we've talked about it for many years now. And, you know, but with all the talk and everything and, you know, and all the videos and stuff like that, you know, people wonder, you know, you don't know what's right and what's wrong. Because a lot of people say, oh, I've got a scientist friend that's there, and he's studying, you know, stuff that's going on in the park and stuff like that. But that's another question that I wanted to ask you. I mean, this is something that's monitored, you know, very, very heavily, correct?
This is one of the best monitored locations on the face of the earth. We have seismographs. We have GPS units in the park that measure any change in uplift or subsidence in the ground. We have what they call borehole strain meters. They actually can measure minute changes in the horizontal movement of the earth. And you bet, there are some changes. We get some earthquakes. If you go to the Yellowstone Volcano Observatory website, which is a consortium of the University of Utah, the National Park Service, and the U.S. Geological Survey, there's a lot of good information there if you're really interested about how active the place is, how frequent the earthquakes are. There are links to those seismographs. You can look at them yourself. And sometimes you're going to see squiggles because this place will shake sometimes. This place does have locations where the earth will rise or fall over a period of time. In some places, we're talking about stuff that is measurable. But by measurable, I'm talking 5 centimeters, not 7 feet, like I saw somebody claim on a...
Right. Well,
this is an amazing and active and wonderful place. There are an amazing number and different types of thermal features here. And the bottom line is that's just one of the reasons Yellowstone's amazing. It's the one that, you know, people think, oh, there's Old Faithful. I'll go to Old Faithful and see it. And they plan a day to see Yellowstone. And when they get here, they're just overwhelmed about all there is to see and do, and frankly, the size of the place.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, I've followed the USGS a lot, and, you know, I follow all, you know, the earthquakes and all that type of stuff. Just, you know, just to see, because I'm actually, above anything else, I'm amazed by the place myself, and I'm amazed by the activity, you know, being good or bad, you know, I'm still amazed by it, and I think that it's one of the wonders of the world, that's for sure. But
it's a place that you know, we're a bit off the beaten path. You just don't happen to drop by Yellowstone in an afternoon. But, you know, you don't have to get on a plane and make 15 connections and fly through customs to get here. We're right here. You can plan a trip here. We're not impossible to get to. And there are opportunities for you to do all sorts of things in Yellowstone with whatever kind of a time frame your schedule allows.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's really, you're pretty much centrally located if you really think about it. You know, so it wouldn't be too hard for too many people to get there. But one question that I wanted to ask you is, you know, I was saying, I follow it, you know, and I pretty much, you know, monitor the earthquakes and the USGS and stuff like that. But one thing that I want to ask is, have you ever heard of them ever removing any kind of earthquakes off the report or... you know, trying to hide, I'm speaking of the government and Uncle Sam, of them ever trying to hide information from the public?
I have not heard of anybody trying to hide information from the public. I will tell you that we have had, you know, we've got a lot of monitors in the park and electronic monitors of the different types I talked about earlier. Sometimes they malfunction. We have all different types of electronic monitors, ways that we can keep track of the different geologic activity here. Yellowstone, though, is a very unforgiving climate. I live in a place where summer temperatures in the 90-degree range are not unheard of, but it's that other extreme that'll make people stand up and notice, even for folks like you who live in Chicagoland. We can see temperatures in the winter of 40 below zero. and the record here is 66 below zero. And, you know, that really wreaks havoc with equipment. So there are times that some of these sensors malfunction. We had one where essentially the data stream was sending bad data down. I liken it to, you know, when you get noise on a phone line and you get kind of scratchy stuff. Well, when that sensor was malfunctioning, we were getting all kinds of crazy readings on the online printout, and people thought that something, you know, and so then we took the thing out of service to fix it. And so there were people online who accused us first of ignoring the data, which frankly was spurious, and then they suggested that we were hiding things. We just had to take the thing offline to fix it. It really isn't as, you know, I work for the federal government. Yes, I do. But, you know, we're out there trying to share information with the public. We're not out trying to hide it. But oftentimes, like in the case of us, it's really a fairly simple issue that's going on. But, you know, the simple real story isn't as sexy as something you might make up around some information.
Sure. Well, you know, our government hasn't always been known the ones to, you know, to tell the complete truth about things, but, you know, hiding things here and there, you know.
and I understand completely. Again, I am a former news reporter. I am very skeptical. But I also have the privilege of doing this job on behalf of the National Park Service. And the only way I can get folks like you to contact me to ask what's going on is if I'm credible. So
right.
I'm not
right.
going to spread any baloney your way.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm not even going to lie. I Googled you last night just to get some information about you and everything. And, I mean, I saw plenty of information about you, and I knew you were more than credible. So, I mean, that's why I couldn't wait for to do the interview today.
Well, I really feel it's a privilege to be able to have this job and to speak on behalf of the park. You know, we mess up sometimes. Some silly things happen here, and sometimes we have a role in that. But when it comes to all of this business that you're seeing about earthquakes and volcanoes, like I said, it's a really geologically active place. Once in a great while, we'll have an earthquake strong enough that somebody can feel. And indeed, we do get to see things on the surface that remind us that a really big pool of magma is relatively close to us, and it has exploded dramatically at times in history, and geologists tell us that it certainly could do so again. There just are no signs at all that suggest that we're ever going to see anything like that happen in our lifetime or the lifetime of our kids or our grandkids.
Okay, so you speak of signs. So if something big like that was going to happen, what would be telltale signs that, you know, would be for sure? Like, I know earthquakes, and it would be, you know, they would be happening, you know, dramatically and happening a lot and stuff like that. But besides that, what would be some signs?
Some other things that the geologists tell me that we would see that could indicate, I'm hedging a bit here, but that's because they do too. Things that might indicate that we could be seeing things develop for some small eruptions, that we would see some areas in the park where we might see some kind of a small magma flow make its way to the surface, that we might see, you know, something shooting out some rocks or gas. Not the great big one, but a little piece. And again, we aren't seeing any changes in movement of the Earth's crust or any earthquake activity that even indicates to the geologists that anything like that is in our future.
Okay. Well, I know that, you know, Old Faithful has changed a little bit. And I know that, you know, it used to be a certain amount of time it would go off, and then it would be dormant for a while, and then, you know, it would go back off again. And I know that's changed. And then, you know, people are saying that they see a lot more, you know, of the magma in the air and stuff. But, I mean...
They aren't seeing any magma. If somebody's seeing magma, they need to get new glasses.
Okay.
There isn't any magma in the air. There just isn't. Now, as far as Old Faithful goes, we had a pretty big earthquake outside the park in the late 50s. It was out by Hebgen Lake. And that earthquake did have an impact on the interval between eruptions of Old Faithful. That was the most significant. We've had a few other shifts in the system which have had an impact on Old Faithful's eruption. It still is the most predictable geyser, but it doesn't go dormant. It hasn't gone dormant, but the interval, the regular interval between eruptions, did make a fairly significant change back in the late 50s. I hear a lot of people come and say, you know, I was here as a kid, and I just saw that eruption of Old Faithful, and it's not like it once was. Well, you know, eruptions are different. The interval between eruptions is different, and that can impact how high and how long an eruption may be of Old Faithful. So that's... And no two eruptions are going to be exactly alike, even though, like I said, we can predict it really quite well.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. And you know what? I used the wrong word when I said dormant. I actually meant, like, the interval, you know, like
Right. And I figured that's what you're looking at. Right now, we're saying that the typical interval between eruptions is about 88 minutes. But certainly... like I said, 1959 earthquake. We had another earthquake in Idaho in 1983. Another one in 1998. Those are three that we can certainly document that have changed the interval. When we're talking about earthquakes here, though, remember we've got some very sophisticated plumbing under the surface of the Earth that results in a different set of thermal features at different places on the surface of the Earth. If you've got some constriction underneath there, and water, and the heat from the magma, then you can end up with a geyser. If it's a more open plumbing system, you could end up with something like a hot spring. And, you know, the earthquakes are kind of like nature clearing your throat. So, you know, we have that earthquake activity that does have some impact on the underground plumbing, which again means that Yellowstone is always changing. It's just not changing in a method that would suggest that something cataclysmic is about to occur.
Okay. So, like, the new vents that are opening up and stuff like that, that really doesn't even mean anything. That just means that it's probably just moving underneath or something?
We find some new thermal features, whether they're steam vents or geysers or hot springs. You know, they occur. Others that have been active will at some point become less active. So if you walk through a thermal basin in the park and you do so again 2 or 3 years subsequent, you are going to see a different kind of activity. Some features will be more active, some less than your previous visit, because things are always changing. But we're not talking about, when you hear somebody talk about new vents or something, we're not talking about big dramatic chasms that have shown up in some, it's just not the case. It's just not happening.
Come on, I read it on the internet. You mean it's not true?
Like I said, the truth is amazing. Why people seem to feel the need to elaborate is beyond me.
Sure. Sure. Well, you know, I think most people, You know, I think a lot of people are scared, to be honest with you. You know, because there's been supposedly scientists that said that, you know, that the eruptions happened every 600,000 years and that we're well overdue and that, you know, it should be happening any time now and we're overdue and, you know, and I think people are scared and they don't know what to do.
And
not enough people on you put it on the ear so they can hear it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing you're going to do. Yellowstone is a natural and dynamic place. There have been eruptions in the past. There certainly could be a big eruption in our future. Nothing is imminent. And there's nothing you're going to do about whether there's an eruption or not. Just plain and simple.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, and Mother Nature's going to do what she's going to do. And, you know, I think if something... You know, if the eruption is big enough, I don't think that we're all going to know too much about it because we're going to probably not going to be here to talk about it. So
yeah, well, you know, I need to bring home the point. I live right here. Live here. I work here. I am not scared. There is no reason to be scared. And you should all come and visit us because this is an amazing place to see.
Well, you heard it right there, everybody. I mean, he lives there, he works there, I'm sure he has a family and, you know, and everything else. I don't think he's going to put his family in harm's way. So for a lot of you that keep spreading the rumor that, you know, that something's coming really, you know, in the next 2 weeks or the month or whatever, guys, get over it. Seriously, get over it. It's not going to happen. Not, you know, not that quick, let's hope.
If this really piques your interest, there is a lot of good information out there, accurate information, about how Yellowstone works. If you go to our park website, which is .gov/YELL, and there's going to be a little search box up in the upper right-hand corner, search for resources and issues. We do a book every year that we update that talks about all of these kinds of things, and we put it online for free. And it has great sections, and this is our Resources and Issues Handbook. It came out of our desire to provide better information for our own summer seasonal staff, and eventually we realized that there was a greater interest and need for this. The darn thing now runs over 250 pages, and it is updated every winter and posted free on the web, and it has a great section about geology, great section on wildlife, information on the history of the park, and that is one great place just to start to learn how Yellowstone works. Other places to keep a great eye on would be the University of Utah site, where they have a lot of information about earthquakes in the Intermountain West, and then the Yellowstone Volcano Observatory. We are part of a consortium that keeps a really close eye on this place, that does a lot of research on Yellowstone, because we still have so much to learn about what makes Yellowstone tick, and what we can learn here can help us understand better about earthquakes and volcanoes across the world.
Sure. Well, yeah, because it seems like there's more and more talk all the time, you know, about different ones that they're finding and, you know, ones that are finally, you know, that are waking up after so many years that were dormant. Let me use the right word this time. and people are, you know, I guess scientists are starting to learn a little bit more about it, you know, in different places. Not so much Yellowstone, but, you know, other volcanoes around the world.
And, you know, there is a lot of interesting information out there. And there are, you know, a number of places that are seismically active and that also have volcanoes. It's people focus on Yellowstone because, you know, Yellowstone truly is a special place, and it's a place that many people have heard of. And so we get a little attention simply because of that. But if you're interested in this science, there's a lot of good, solid, reputable information out there that will help you become better informed, and it'll make you a better consumer of some of this information if you're truly interested in it.
Right, right. So, Rob, to get away from the volcanoes a little bit, so tell us a little bit about when people can actually do some camping and stuff. You know, what's the months and stuff up there?
You bet. So Yellowstone is always open. It's open every day of the year, but there are times that it can be a little more challenging to get here. We close the interior roads of the park in early November, and frankly, then we transition things so that in the middle of December, we can reopen for an over-snow season so that you can come in on a guided snowmobile or guided snow coach for about a three-month period. And I got to tell you, there is no greater shock to your system than coming into a place like Old Faithful in the winter, and it's 20 below, and there are big mounds of snow all around, and you still see this superheated geyser go off. It's pictures can't do it justice. It is something to experience.
I was going to say that's one video that I don't think I've ever seen of the park, you know, and I'm surprised that nobody's ever posted anything like that, because I think that would be a pretty neat sight to see.
Yeah, we actually have a Yellowstone NPS YouTube channel, and you're going to see some winter stuff on there, and you should go there and look at some of those videos. And I know there's a little bit of that stuff out, but winter is not a heavy time of visitation. And then come March, we shut down the oversnow, and then we begin several weeks of plowing the road so we can get things open. We hope to have all the roads open to visitors in time for the Memorial Day holiday weekend.
Okay.
Summer's kind of short here. You know, our biggest visitation months are May, June, July, August, September. And that's when most of the people come. It's when the weather's nicest. It's when most people can get away. And then fall, which really starts in September but goes on into October, fall can be a wonderful time here too. But we don't have as many visitor facilities open. If you're planning a trip into the park and you can plan far enough in advance, you are advised to make reservations for your campsite or for a room, because it can be, if you come on the spur of the moment in July, you're not going to find any place to stay in the park. It's just that popular.
Well, that's a good thing for you guys, that's for sure. You know, I don't want to steer off of it, since you were talking about roads and about them plowing roads. Somebody actually sent me a question. I know you and I talked about it yesterday, but I want people to know about it. There is verification that one of the roads was closed for, 3 days in the park?
That's right. We had a place where it's a side road that is located off the main road that links Madison Junction and Old Faithful. I'll say that again. It was a side road, and it allowed you to drive through some active thermal areas and some really neat features, again, among the 10,000 we have. And this area, the surface of the earth, is hot because of the hot water in the area that's heated by that magma deep in the ground. But we also ended up with a few days where the air temperature was really hot. And frankly, we didn't have the best roadway in there. And so it caused some problems with the surface of the road, and we temporarily closed the road to travel. And then we had to, frankly, scrape off some of the road and put down a mixture of lime and sand to soak up some of the tar before we could reopen it to visitors.
Sure. Well, it's just like here in Chicago. I mean, we have black tar all over the place. And from the heat, you know, because it's really humid here. We're one of the most, most humid cities there is. Between the humid, the heat, you know, and everything else, and the mixture of everything, the tar comes up all the time. The ground, you know, concrete cracks, we get holes in the ground, holes in the road, you know, it happens all the time. So I would imagine, you know, with there being a volcano underneath the road and heat on top of it, I mean, you know, it's going to have to give way sometime.
Yeah, so we had some substandard road that reacted not only to the constant heat on the surface area, but reacted to that. Yeah, we had to close the road for 3 days. And we told the public about it because we knew during the summer season that closing that road would be inconvenient for some visitors. We wanted to make sure they knew about it. We didn't want to hide it.
Sure. Well, yeah, that's where everybody got the information from. It wasn't like some, you know, somebody just, oh, hey, everybody, you know, the road is closed. Why is the road closed? And, you know what, in all actuality, that's really what did happen. I think one person actually went on the website and saw it and acted like they were breaking some news. And I think a lot of people started getting scared because why is the road, you know, why is the road crumbling and this and that and everything else? And, oh, that really stirred up a big controversy, I can tell you that.
And the sad thing is we put out a news release, posted it to our park website, told people that it was a three-mile section of road, that it wasn't the main road. We told them what was going on. And, gosh, we put pictures on the web to show people what was happening. But, again, apparently for some people, the truth just wasn't interesting enough.
Right. Oh, it's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate.
But, you know, I try to take a positive message away from all of that. I am very glad that people are interested in what happens here. I am very glad that people care about what happens at Yellowstone. Because, you know, somebody had a really good idea well over 100 years ago to set this special place aside, and we need people to continue to care for Yellowstone so it's going to be here for future generations.
Sure. Well, there's no denying that. I mean, there's plenty of people talking about you guys, and they definitely care about Yellowstone and what's going on there. I mean, I hate to say it, they probably don't care as much about the park as they do their well-being because of what they think is going to happen there. But there's plenty of people that care about that park. I mean, that park, you know, is one of the most beautiful places on Earth. It's plain and simple.
And that's the thing. I mean, people say, okay, you got Old Faithful. That's great. You know, people don't necessarily realize we have the Grand Canyon in Arizona, maybe bigger, but ours is more colorful. You
sure.
know, this is we have an amazing amount of wild land here. And, you know, people say, oh, I don't want to go to Yellowstone because it's crowded. Well, I have news for you. Go find a trailhead. Strap on a pack, carry some water, put on some bear spray, and walk 30 minutes away from a road. And you're going to have an entirely different Yellowstone experience, and you're going to be out away from people. It's an amazing place to be. And, you know, while we focus on things like thermal features, the reason most people come to Yellowstone is for the wildlife viewing. And it is a great place to come and see all sorts of animals at any time of the year.
What different animals are there?
Well, the one that I think people have focused on over history would be the bears, whether it's grizzly bears or black bears. And, you know, especially early on in the season, there's a really good chance that you can see bears out in the wild. One of the great conservation stories of our country is the fact that the bison was saved in Yellowstone National Park. And we now have a herd of about 4,900 bison that roam free in the park. You know, they're just such an iconic Western animal. And you can see them here. We have a lot of elk that you can see, depending on time of the year. We have pronghorn. We have, you know, we reintroduced wolves about a decade and a half ago. And in fact, tourism devoted specifically to people who come here to see wolves has been a great boost to the regional economy.
Right. Yeah, I can't imagine, you know, I can't imagine seeing all those bison. I mean, where I live in Chicago, of course, we don't have any here. We don't have any, you know, in any woods or surrounding areas or, you know, anything where the other wildlife are here. So I think that would actually be something to see, that's for sure.
I mean, so there are all kinds of opportunities when you visit a place like Yellowstone. And then, frankly, the communities that surround the park, that are often places where people are going to dine or shop, or often people will choose or will find accommodations in those gateway communities. I mean, there's such a wealth of Western U.S. history that you can dive right into as you travel to and from the park or spend time in the surrounding communities. This is just a place that you can kind of immerse yourself in a very different culture and experience than you may have somewhere else.
Well, I would imagine this has to be a busy time of the year for you also, especially because Sturgis, I would imagine a lot of people that are going to Sturgis that go up through that way probably stop at the park, no?
We will see a couple of pulses of motorcycle activity both before and after that the Sturgis Rally in the Black Hills. You're absolutely right. But you know, July by far is our busiest month. June and August are right behind it. And this can be a really hectic place at times during the summer. But again, we're glad people want to come here. We want them to be here, understand this place, and appreciate it.
Well, and you know, that's you know, you couldn't have put it pretty much any better than you just did. I mean, understanding the place is what it's all about, instead of people jumping the gun and stuff like that. Well, I really, really appreciate you joining me today. And how about giving out some information for people, you know, some websites and stuff like that, that people can actually look up the information. I mean, I know you already did, but for, you know, for anybody that didn't have a pen and paper handy, which they can do that now, how about giving us the websites and stuff again?
You bet. So the best one-stop shopping is to go to the Yellowstone pages on the National Park Service website. That's www.nps for National Park Service .gov/YELL for Yellowstone. We literally have hundreds of web pages there with all kinds of information. And if you want to live vicariously, we've got webcams, including the Old Faithful live streaming webcam. You can sit in your own den or bedroom and watch Old Faithful erupt on your computer screen. Now, how cool is that? You know,
that's pretty awesome.
That is pretty amazing. You know, there are other places that you can, that we have Yellowstone information out on the internet that we post ourselves. We have a Facebook page. We have a YouTube channel. We're on Twitter. We're on Flickr. Our username on all of those is one word, YellowstoneNPS. So you can find us out there. We've got our own podcasts. We post updated pictures on things that happen here. And we get out on Twitter and Flickr and share information and interact with people. And we'd love to meet you there out on social media.
Well, there you go, everybody. Make sure you go and check out their Facebook pages, their YouTube channels, go on to all their websites and everything, and help support the parks. I mean, you know, that's what it's all about. I mean, volcano aside and everything else, it's about the nature, and it's about, you know, about the park and the history of it.
And we love to share things with people, and if you've got questions, chances are somebody else has the same question you do, and we are out there trying to help you get a better sense of what's going on the park. We like to share information. We want you to get to know more about your national park.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you again for joining me today, and hopefully, you know, hopefully it keeps going the way that it's going, and you know, that we're not going to have anybody else, you know, trying to spread rumors and stuff like that. And hopefully this will put people a little bit at ease, you know, hearing it from you yourself.
Well, and honestly, you really want to know what's going on? You need to plan a trip here. And Bobby, I'm talking to you and to your listeners. If you haven't been to Yellowstone, it needs to be on that short list of trips that you're planning for the future.
Absolutely. Well, you'll see me there, and I'll look for you when I get there.
Very good, sir.
All righty. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
All righty. Take care.
This is the Rage Against the Machine podcast. Call or text your opinions to 256-344-7287. That's 256-344-7287. Listening to the Rage Against the Regime podcast. Don't be a stranger. Like Rage Against the Regime podcast on Facebook or tweet us at RATR podcast.
Welcome back to Rage Against the Regime. So, what did you think of the interview? Like I said, I didn't pull any punches. I mean, I pretty much laid it all out there and, you know, asked the questions that a lot of you are asking. But on the same token, you know, I let Al, you know, talk about the park and, you know, talk about the beauty and all that, like I said. But what'd you guys think of the interview? I mean, he made some good points, you know, about changes in the park and stuff like that. I mean, that's stuff that's going to happen. That's stuff that's going to happen all the time. And like he said, he lives there. He works there. He lives there and everything else. He doesn't have to work for them. Do you think if he felt that something bad was about to happen that he would be there? I mean, I know I wouldn't be. No job pays that much money, okay? Because I guarantee you, they don't pay him no $1 million a year or anything like that, you know, and where he could just say, ah, you know what, I'll just have to stick around for a little while and, you know, and whatever, and then I'll be the last one to go because they're paying me $1 million a year or whatever. I mean, I'm just being serious. I mean, yes, there's a lot of changes and stuff in the park and everything else, but I think that a lot of people that are posting stuff are scared, and you just don't know what's going on. And you know what? It's okay to be scared. It's okay not to know what's going on. That's why they call it Mother Nature, okay? And if it's going to happen, it's going to happen, and like Al said, if it does happen, there's really not a whole lot you're going to be able to do about it. There's going to be warnings and stuff like that. Now, I think he made a bold prediction and said that he doesn't think it's going to happen in our lifetime, our kids' lifetime, or our grandkids' lifetime. I think he's wrong about that, because if you think about it, if you want to be, you know, do the numbers or whatever, I mean, most of you probably are about the same age as me, maybe a little bit older. So, we'll just say he's talking about over 250 years. We'll just use a number. I think it's going to happen within 250 years. Now, all the other things that are going on in the world, are they not going to trigger something or set something off to where something else happens and we won't have to worry about Yellowstone? I don't know. I mean, and it's not funny. It's. I guess that's a nervous laugh. But like most of you, I mean, you don't know what to think about what's going on. None of us do, okay? But like he said, you know, things change, you know, and things happen, and new vents open, and, you know, and this and that. And I don't want to be a fearmonger, okay? And I don't want to report to you something that wouldn't be true. If I thought that something was going to happen, I'd be the first one to tell you guys, get the hell out of Dodge. I mean, do I think it's going to happen one day? Yeah. But do I think it's going to happen anytime soon? You know, I don't know for sure, but I would like to say no. I mean, yeah, I saw, you know, on Bunker Report, Tom, love you guy, that Tom's a good friend. I mean, you know, he's really, really a good dude. You know, he helps me out so much and everything, posts videos for me. You know, if I ask him to be on my show, he would come right on my show and everything. He's a good dude. And, you know, he's Mr. Prepared, I'll tell you that. But, you know, on his page, I've seen plenty of people posting pictures today. This was the picture of the park today and, you know, whatever. And, you know, and this is what it looks like and blah, 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 so on and so forth, whatever. Yeah, but, I mean, does that mean that it's, you know, that the volcano's getting ready to go off? No, it doesn't. I mean, I wish I had more to tell you guys, and I wish that Al could have told us a little bit more, and, you know, but nobody's going to be able to tell you what you want to hear, because you know, most of you, that's what you want to hear. You don't want to hear that the volcano's going to happen, but you want to hear what you feel is the truth, so you know what to do in life. I understand that, and I'm the same way. Believe you me, I wish I had all the answers too. And I wish I knew exactly what was going to happen. But none of us do. So I hope that this interview answered a lot of questions for a lot of you guys. Please share it with your friends and your family and everything else. Send me some feedback. Let me know what you guys think. Well, that was another edition of Rage Against the Regime. And thank you for listening. And I hope this, like I said, I hope this put a little bit of ease on you guys. Take care for now, and I'm your host, Bobby. Who's the man?
This is the Rage Against the Regime podcast. Like Rage Against the Regime podcast on Facebook or tweet us at RATR podcast. If you'd like to send us an email, it's rageagainsttheregimepodcast@gmail.com. And of course, you can call or text us at 256-344-RATR. That's 256-344-7287.